Good afternoon, Your Honor. We're all assembled as appear on your appearance sheet, and we are on the record, so I think we can begin at any time.
Good afternoon. This is Gary Katzman, and we are here in Center for Biological Diversity versus United States Department of Interior. And this is a status conference, docket number 22-00339. And would the parties just introduce themselves for the record?
Yes, good afternoon, Your Honor. This is Sarah Yolman, appearing on behalf of the plaintiffs, and I have with me today Ms. Tanya Sanarib.
Good afternoon.
And good afternoon, Your Honor. This is Agatha Kaprowski with Department of Justice for the Department of Interior and the Secretary.
Good afternoon. I must also say that it's actually probably all for the better that you haven't journeyed to New York. I don't know what the pollution situation is in Washington, but it's really a challenge in terms of the breathing and the ramifications of the fire, perhaps. So I don't know how things are where you are, but so we are here on the voluntary dismissal joint motion for dismissal and stipulation to dismissal of this action. This, of course, is a case involving the Vaquita, which is as this court well knows, and the parties well know, we've seen the parties in a series of litigations, is the world's smallest porpoise on the verge of extinction. And I thought that it would be helpful to have a status conference, a brief status conference. We know that this motion has been filed, this case is somewhat different in a variety of ways from the other cases. For one thing, it involves the Pelley Amendment. The plaintiffs, Center for Biological Diversity, Animal Welfare Institute, and Natural Resources Defense Council, in their complaint, challenged the Secretary of the Interior and the Department of Interior's, as they allege, unreasonable delay in responding to a 2014 petition, the Pelley petition, submitted under the Administrative Procedure Act. The Pelley petition requested that defendants certify Mexico under the Pelley Amendment to the Fishermen's Protective Act of 1967. Due to, it is alleged, Mexico's ongoing failure to halt illegal fishing of an international trade in endangered totoaba, a largely imperiled fish, and that this take or killing in trade violates and diminishes the effectiveness of the Convention of International Trade in Endangered Species of Wild Fauna and Flora, CITES. Under the Pelley Amendment, when the Secretary of Interior finds the nationals of a country are engaging in trade or taking which diminishes the effectiveness of any international program for endangered species, the Secretary shall certify such fact to the President. Upon the President's certification of a nation, the President is authorized to prohibit the importation of any products from the offending country. And the complaint continues, the Pelley petition filed September 29, 2014, almost 9 years ago, requested that the Secretary of the Interior certify Mexico for diminishing the effectiveness of sites for the continued trade and taking of Totuaba pursuant to the APA and the Pelley Amendment. So that is, of course, the assertions in the complaint, and wanted to first ask, and this is a status conference, the plaintiff for the Center for Biological Diversity for its view of the state of the litigation record. We understand that there was a settlement agreement dated August 6, 2023 from a joint motion that had been filed by the parties. Ms. Ullman, I was hoping that you could provide some background.
Yes, Your Honor, quite happily. I think you summarized the situation quite well regarding what is in the complaint. Upon the complaint's filing, the parties entered into settlement negotiations, and I think quite fruitfully, the government did agree to respond to our petition by a date certain and make a decision whether or not to certify Mexico. And it indeed make that decision and in a timely manner under the settlement by May 18th. The government did certify Mexico, which, of course, as you noted, puts in place an opportunity for the president to now consider and issue some sanctions against the Mexican government to prompt compliance with the CITES treaty. We believe that the government's actions satisfy the claim that we brought in this case. And so we have now stipulated with the government under Rule 41A1A to dismiss this case. And we await your decision.
So if you could give further background as to possible next steps in this case, pursuant to the Pelley Amendment, where there's been the certification to the president. And the certification would be that Mexico, you read the precise language, well, the Secretary of Interior, in your view, would have satisfied the Pelley Amendment petition by finding that the nationals of a foreign country, in this case Mexico, are engaging in trade or taking which diminishes the effectiveness of any international program for endangered species.
Yes, Your Honor. Our claim was, of course, under the Administrative Procedure Act for the government's unreasonable delay in responding to our petition. And at this point, the government has indeed responded to our petition by certifying essentially that Mexico is violating CITES. I should step back a little and say, the Akita, of course, is threatened by gillnet fishing in Mexican waters. Our previous case involved a set of fish that was imported into the United States until your injunction in 2020. In this case, of course, involves the Totuaba, which is sort of the other set, the other species that is fished in Mexico, and that does not come in the United States. It's almost exclusively exported to China. What happens now that there has been a certification is that the president needs to make a decision within essentially by July 17th and sort of what response he wants to take to that certification, that acknowledgement that Mexico has diminished the effectiveness of CITES here. If the president does not decide to sanction Mexico, well, regardless of what the president's decision is, it has to inform Congress on that date what action the president is going to take. And if it doesn't, if he does not ban products from Mexico, has to inform Congress of why. You know, we are certainly hopeful that there will be an embargo in this case. We believe that the embargo of products as a result of your injunction was partially effective. It resulted in Mexico issuing very strong regulations that we believe, if they had been enforced, really had potential to save the vaquita. Unfortunately, Mexican government did not fully enforce those regulations, and we're hopeful that a broader sanction to the Mexican government will actually force the Mexican government to finally get boats out there on the water to enforce the bans on gill nets that are in place.
Thank you, counsel. As you reference, the cases, and there have been a number of opinions that we've issued involving the vaquita, as you know, proceeded under the Marine Mammal Protection Act. And the embargo that was issued stemmed from the Marine Mammal Protection Act and the exclusive jurisdiction that this court has, the Court of International Trade, over embargoes. How would an embargo under the Pelley Amendment, if the president chooses to act, differ from the import restrictions issued under the Marine Mammal Protection Act?
The Pelley Act authorizes pretty broad embargo. It actually states that the president can embargo any product. So, period, any product that comes into the United States. That certainly could include seafood, not just from within the vaquita's habitat, which is what the previous ban that we had requested and received covered. So this could cover a much broader swath of seafood throughout Mexico. It could include other wildlife products, including products that are traded legally under the CITES Treaty. There is a potential for a much broader economic impact potentially from the sanctions that Pelley authorizes.
Yeah, thank you. So your position, of course, is not that joining in the stipulation to dismiss, that reflects a bill of health for the vaquita.
Absolutely not, Your Honor. It's simply an acknowledgement that we brought one claim, and that one claim has now been satisfied by the government's decision, particularly its certification. I will note that as we speak, there is a press conference occurring to announce new survey numbers for the vaquita population. Literally, as you were sitting down, I was receiving some information that suggests that the population, which was around 10, is now estimated to be 10 to 13, which I think we can say is perhaps some slight increase, and that there were potentially one to two calves identified on the recent survey. That's certainly not a good bill of health by any dreamland. However, I am happy to report that it does seem that the vaquita still exists, and we're hopeful that through this certification and a potential ban by the president, that the Mexican government will really truly get the gillnets out of the water to give the species a full chance for recovery.
And the press conference that you reference, who's the source of the conference?
Yeah, it's the IUCN participated along with the Sea Shepherd organization on doing this survey. It's the same entities that have done a series of surveys in recent years. So their transect survey should allow them to directly compare their previous estimates to their current estimates.
And also, and I'm of course going to ask the government as well, the complaint alleges that in February 2022, I don't think that this is disputed, the U.S. Trade Representative announced that it was requesting formal environmental consultations with Mexico pursuant to the United States-Mexico-Canada Agreement, USMCA, a first step in dispute resolution under the USMCA, and that it is alleged the consultations address Mexico's USMCA obligations relating to the protection of the critically endangered vaquita porpoise, the prevention of illegal fishing and trafficking of totoaba fish. Is there any further information regarding the USTR proceedings that are in the public record?
No, Your Honor, there's nothing public that I'm aware of. Those proceedings are done between the United States and Mexico. I believe Canada has the opportunity to be involved in those conversations as well, but it is not a public or transparent process. It is sort of the third piece here. You know, we had the MMPA, we have PELI, and then of course we have the USMCA, which requires all three parties, the US, Mexico, and Canada, to fully enforce their environmental laws. And you know, we submitted a petition again to the US government asking them to initiate these dispute processes to address the fact that the Mexican government is violating both its 2020 regulations that ban gill nets in the vaquita waters, but also its domestic obligations to comply with CITES. I do not have any further information on how those proceedings are going, although I believe that the discussions continue.
Okay. And finally, with respect to the PELI amendment, how often has the PELI amendment process been utilized?
Many times. The law has been on the books, of course, for decades. It was expanded in the 1970s to not just allow the government to certify countries for violating fisheries treaties, which was its original the way it was originally drafted. During that time, there have been many, many countries who have been certified, and often the certification alone can be very influential. Foreign countries, of course, take this certification very seriously, and in many cases, they have responded in such a way that an embargo is not necessary. There was, however, back in, I believe it was the early 1990s, President Clinton certified and then sanctioned Taiwan for its illegal trade in tiger parts. Taiwan almost immediately closed its domestic markets quite successfully, and the embargo was subsequently lifted.
Thank you, counsel. I have no further questions at this time for the plaintiff. And now we will turn to the government and Ms. Kaprowski.
Yes, Your Honor.
Good afternoon, Ms. Kaprowski. I'm wondering if you could provide us from your perspective, and we've read the filings, of course, what the status of this case is as relates to the PELI amendment.
Well, Your Honor, as you're aware, and as counsel for plaintiffs just confirmed, that the parties have filed a joint stipulation pursuant to Rule 41A1. I think Roman at two. But pursuant to that, the expectation is that the case will be dismissed without court order. There is no further need for this court to take any action, and as my friend just summarized, the single claim in this particular action was the failure to act on behalf of the secretary. The secretary has now acted, and as you accurately summarized the statute, the matter is now before the us until mid-July to make a decision as to what to do. But with regards to this litigation, we believe disputes have been resolved for the court.
And how would an embargo under the Pelley amendments, if the president chooses to act, how would it differ from the import restrictions issued under the Marine Mammal Protection Act, which is, of course, the act which has been the basis for the embargoes issued by this court in the Vaquita case?
So the Marine Protection Act and its implementing regulations allow for, or excuse me, require the prohibition of fish that, or fish products that are harvested in a manner that the administrating agency, in this case, Commerce, determines are harvested in a manner where the protections are not comparable to the regulatory protections in the United States. I apologize, I don't have the statute in front of me, but I'm paraphrasing based on recollection. And so under the MMPA, any prohibition on products are directly related to Commerce's comparability finding. So to give a concrete example related to the prior litigation, findings about fisheries in the Upper Gulf of California, and therefore any prohibition under the MMPA are related to those particular fisheries and the species that are harvested in those particular fisheries, and the prohibition being related to any fisheries that's found to be not comparable, or the regular fishery found to be not comparable under Commerce's view. In the Pelley context, Pelley itself is, as counsel just stated, is open and left to the discretion of the president. I cannot speculate as to how that will do to exercise that discretion, whether that's, I will that in addition to any domestic limitations on the president's action, which again in the Pelley context is very few, the president might be constrained by other international agreements, including our WTO agreements, and being constrained by national trade obligations. Without the decision, I can't really speculate on whether an embargo would or would not differ in any meaningful way from an MMP.
And I also wanted to ask you, as I asked the counsel for the plaintiffs, whether there was any background regarding the February 22, 2022 announcement by the USTR and that it was requesting formal environmental consultations with Mexico pursuant to the U.S.-Mexico-Canada agreement, USMCA.
I have not been involved in any of those discussions. I have a passing understanding based on just information. I believe my understanding is consistent with counsel's that those consultations did in fact forward. I am not aware as to whether or not they have concluded. I do not believe that they have been, that there's been a subsequent request to form a dispute resolution panel under the USMCA, but again, I'm not personally involved. USTR is not the agency involved in this litigation, so I don't have personal.
I understand. The consultations address, quote, Mexico's USMCA obligations relating to protection of the critically endangered vaquita porpoise, the prevention of illegal fishing and trafficking of Totowaba fish, as quoted before. I was just wondering if there was anything more that was of relevant, to our background here. Is there anything? Yes.
Oh, no, I was just going to say my understanding, and I'm not a USMCA expert, but my understanding is those consultations between the parties are confidential. I believe the fact of them are not confidential, but the substance of them, I believe, are. I believe if it went to a dispute settlement panel, some of those filings and papers might be public or might eventually be made public. But as best as I'm aware, there's not much in the public record about the substance of the consultations and whether or not they're going.
Thank you, counsel. Do any of the parties wish to say anything more? We're about to conclude the status conference.
No, Your Honor, plaintiffs are all set.
For the record, I just to respond to Your Honor's summary of the complaint, I would just note that the government did not respond to the complaint, and we do not concede the liability in the complaint, but we do believe that Your Honor accurately described the allegations, although we may dispute some of the facts and as well as the legal conclusions.
Well, thank you, counsel. As the parties well know, the vaquita is an endangered species on the verge of extinction. And the time that the parties have devoted and the court has devoted to this case reflects the great significance of this case. And I'd like to thank the parties for the participation today, and the court will issue an opinion on this case, but we need not say anything more at this point other than wish you a good day. Thank you very much, and the court is adjourned.
Thank you. Also
I should say, let me say one more. Mr. Gold, the case manager, will be placing the audio of this conference on the website so that if anybody else in the public wants to hear what was said today, it will be available. And that, Mr. Gold, that will be posted shortly?
Yes, Your Honor.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
Thank you, everyone.